provincial government. See, I must say that in terms of the program, it did say that DOE and PED, subsequently the notice from the pharmacy did not go out to the provinces. So that may be the reason that we only have one. But we have been in discussion with provinces around the report, and therefore Mr. Malaria Thatcher says Mr. Chen. Thank you, Chair. Basically, in terms of the structure of the presentation, I'll talk a little bit about the background. Mandate the strategies of PMS, the improvements in the Department of Education structure to respond to some of these mandates and strategies, the national and provincial medium term expenditure framework allocations, and then specifically focus on the activities of the Department of Education and the provincial Department of Education through highlighting the allocations that they have in that particular area, then highlighting the challenges in the Department of Education, and then outlining the EMS improvement activities in the provincial education department, and then to conclude with challenges in the provincial education department. Chair, in all other systems in education, we also inherited the very desperate information collection system in 1994. Each education department, and we had a lot of them at that stage, had their own system, their own forms, their own data fields. A number of them were manual systems, whereas others were computerized. And at that stage, it was very difficult to integrate previous data sets. So the new system really requires what required for a new education system. And we needed to start from scratch. So we faced a considerable challenges, however improvements are undergo, especially over the last 3 years, where recognition has been given by National Treasury. Recognition has been given on the importance of information for decision making and for monitoring and evaluation. So I will be talking about some of the improvements that are undergo. There's been a new recognition of the importance of EMS both nationally and internationally. And EMS itself is a terminology that has come into the education literature quite recently, in terms of education history, around the 1990s. The concept of EMS, one begins to see the concept of EMS. Prior to that, it was education statistics. A very education statistics, basically only job would come to learn the numbers, and retaining those numbers in your archives for long-term trend analysis. So clearly the need, And the recognition is because of the need for scientific based or evidence-based decision-making and planning. So there's been an increasing demand for education statistics. Now the challenge in coordinating, one of the biggest challenges has been coordinating teams with provincial education departments. As in all other particular areas in terms of the concurrency of function, in terms of the intergovernmental structure or organization that we, the way that we organize, it has been really very, very difficult initially to have pooled 9 provincial education departments together. With simple things like a common form, common databases, common field, simple issues of a common date on which we have to undertake the survey, and a number of this, even common things in terms of the numbering of schools, in terms of what we call an EMS number. Now, as I indicated, EMS was prioritized by government in the medium term budget policy statement of October 2005. Now, the way that EMS is so coordinated, we do it through the Head of Education Department Committee. And just to make a simple correction here, it is the Head of Education Department Committee, subcommittee for EMS. And these 6 members are the Department of Education, Provincial Education Department, HSRT, Research Institute for Education and Training, the Karik, and Christian University, Central Africa, and Union Reps. So all that is in the bracket should have actually go one down, one line later, because it's the head committee, head of subcommittee of EMS, which is one of the oldest established committees of HEDCOM, and it's still very active. It means that this quarter in the year allocates staffs to technical committees. So we get a lot of work done through this particular committee. Now, additional funding to national and provincial EMS units for the FTF 2006-07 to 2008 was made available. And prior to this year, there was, in some provinces, there were absolutely zero budget. No personnel, no data capture, no computers. So it is basically only last year that we began to see this record injection. Now, when we made the budget for EMS, and our plans were structured around a national EMS, in terms of the mandate, in fact, EMS is one of the only main functions of education mentioned in the National Education Policy Act, because it says that the education system will be managed through the establishment of a national EMS. And a national EMS is a small entity, which means provinces as well as the Department of Education. So we did ask, in terms of having a uniform system for international grants, in order for that EMS, so that we could plan and move ahead. Unfortunately, you see, I'm not saying unfortunately, it was also one of the factors that, in terms of modalities, we were not able to succeed in getting it as a conditional grant. However, we're grateful that we still got the allocations, and the allocations were then. Part of it went to the equitable share, the major portion of it, to provinces. And an interesting issue, in terms of all priorities that we have been doing, from ECD conditional grant to personnel grant that was made a year or two ago, that once it goes to the equitable share, after it is announced as a government priority by the Minister of Finance in October, it struggled to actually find those allocations between the provincial government and the provincial education department. So basically that is what happened last year. And we did intervene by the minister and our director general writing to provincial education department, and with the assistance of national secretary, we were able to really extract some of those particular funds. Quite late, I must say, in 2006, but at least for 2007, we absolutely clear what is the money available, and so we are able to plan. Now, part of our particular challenge is, and that's where in terms of the implementation plan, we're going to look at how we have to plan around this particular challenge. So for example, we could develop a system at national level. But the issue is provinces haven't got those resources or those schedules out, it may then give us difficulty. So we move in the implementation of the national service as fast as the slowest province. We move as fast as the slowest province. National and provincial EMS units, I must say, I'm jointly managing the ECT-Bus improvement plan. We had full cooperation from provinces and the little department because we have to meet quite often in terms of the systems being developed that I will be talking about. Okay, in terms of the second point I made is the strategies of EMIS, in terms of the National Education Policy Act, the minister must monitor and evaluate standards of education provision, delivery and performance to a large extent through the use of national education statistics. Therefore, the aim of EMIS is to promote the development and operation of education and training management information systems for accountability. You want to know how many learners there are there? How old learners being? They should be there in terms of the population and planning, because clearly the learner numbers are used for allocations to provinces. And if we don't get the learner numbers right, it means that either provinces could be over or under funded, which is quite significant because education is a very, very large part of provincial budget. And allocation is about around 50%. Aim for monitoring to achieve quality and effective service delivery in the national education system. And the national year again means small end education system of the nation. The National Education Information Policy has what this policy trying to deal with, and it was made policy in August 2004. In terms of the National Education Policy Act, is that it was able to deal with all those particular free-for-all processes that were going on prior to that. In terms of non-performance to standards around the completion of annual survey forms, the protocol around data provisioning, the submission of data in terms of the required timeline. Now, in terms of EMIS policy, education information standards are to be developed. And we have, under that policy, a committee made up of representatives of interest groups and experts. So mostly, provincial representatives, State of Africa, played a big role in the South African Qualifications Authority, and HSRT, EPSA, Department of Communication, are some of the departments in terms of trying to get coordination around government. And we've already published 6 standards here, which will be handed out to members. There are two documents. The one is the Education Management Information Systems Quality, and the second one is clearly simple standards around the requirement of the completion of forms by provinces, and the completion of these forms, and processes and procedures around data quality. However, I think these are two instruments that have been quite powerful in bringing the EMIS together. It's still early days in terms of standards. We still have to develop standards, which we are finalizing in terms of a data dictionary, in terms of procedures around the collection of information, around the procedures for quality assurance, around procedures for database management. Now, these standards are applicable, they are of interest to the public at large. Because a number of researchers, research organizations, etc., can utilize the standards to be able to determine what is the technical specifications and issues around data collection. In terms of management strategies, the vision is for an integrated education management information system. I can also indicate that we have human expertise never existed in South Africa because it was a new concept, number one. Number two, worldwide, EMIS is a new concept. in our participation in both Africa Forum and International Forum, there is still a major struggle around dealing with demons. We have all in a number of times international experts to even assist us. And here I must say that in terms of the report that they have given us, they themselves really are grappling with the issue. And it seems that our own work that we've done is more advanced in terms of what experts have been able to assist us. And part of the problem around the issue of a system in education is that it's unlike hospitals or other governments that are aside from motor vehicle registration, is that because we are a very loosely coupled system. In terms of schools having their own juristic personalities, etc. So that's number one is part of the problem. Number two is we're dealing with 12 million units of information. Thirdly, education information is very, very costly to be able to collect in the traditional way. So therefore often and a number of countries that do annual education statistics have to ensure the total integrity of information that is collected, and therefore that information goes through a massive quality assurance and community process. So often, in terms of our participation in the UNESCO structures for education information, that clearly the time frame for the complete finalization of any one data set in terms of the discipline of education statistics takes about 2 years. Some countries are 4 or 5 years behind in terms of finalizing and closing those databases. However, they need pressure within the system to have real-time information on exactly what is particularly going on. Now that means that we will have to have particular policies that we need to follow. So firstly, our principle that we have followed is that all data should be collected from one single source in the system at the institutional level, and to provide a single entity of truth. All operational and transversal systems must be proven. Now by operational system we mean that if we are dealing with, say, the issue of the provisioning of educators, you can't send out surveys every month in terms of whether there's teachers or there's not teachers. These are operational processes where a school informs the district, a district must make a decision over that particular vacancy. It must kick in other processes and transactions. So it really means that we have to fix up the way that we work, because computers cannot come in and solve our problems for us. If we don't operate properly, if we don't work properly, if we don't have proper procedures, then clearly no information system in the world you will be able to provide you with the quality data. Demonstration of information systems will probably show how great it is that one can do with flashy maps, etc. But the issue is that quality. If a teacher does not mark a register, if that information is not sent through at a particular point in time, if a school does not keep the system informed, then no matter how much you spend on the information system, is that it will be as good as the people that are able to have the time to be able to complete for. Now, there is a trade-off that one has to make. If you can set the whole recording informed, and we can have that type of an operational system, or we could as our day-to-day work goes on, we've got to mark a register, so we mark it and get these computerized, then so be it, that we have it. But it's costly in terms of technology and in terms of capacity, but it is our vision that all operational and transversal systems, like examinations, like QSL, like the whole school evaluation database, must be built on top of institutional system and must be of use to the school level, to the district, province, and then metro. Because if we don't create the issue, Nobody's going to supply us information from the school level if they cannot use it themselves on a day-to-day basis. Not just in the supply to us and we give them a report. And so therefore we came to provide a single operation of truth. The reporting layer of business intelligence. So on top of all these databases, we develop a business intelligence system that links all the databases. If you pull up the post provisioning database, together with the letter numbers database, together with the performance database, you are able to then make more meaningful analysis and you have more meaningful decision making. So Hedgehog adopted the strategy to move away from aggregated data. Aggregated data is when you set a form, you say, how many letters have you got in grade 5, 6, 7? What are the ages? What are the languages? What are the race groups that they fall into? What are the barriers to learning, etc.? To aggregate the data collection system to survey forms to the collection of unit records data from source. That is, from the school record keeping system themselves. Application forms for admission, admission forms, daily registers, class lists, all those processes that happen day to day in schools. So this is a big system we're talking about. It's probably even bigger than e-office. However, it will take time in terms of developing. We're quite advanced in terms of its development. And in our strategy, the activities that we started off with, first we said, let us begin to show schools the importance of data, not for us, but firstly for the school itself. Because in any data system, the utility and the quality is if the school itself wants its students, particular tests with data, is to be able to act themselves, not to send that information to the national head office, to the province, to the national head office, and wait 2 years later, and then to act. Because it's only about a year or 2 years later that data can be aggregated. So we think that even in the concept, not only for management decision making at a national education system level, but also at school level. And therefore we're implementing what we call the South African Schools Administration Management System. FAE-10 for short. And the basic standard for all school data collection in order to improve and standardize data at source level. This is the first step in building a national unit record system. Here, the system has been developed, the software, in terms of the school administration system. Now, in spite of there not being resources for a proper plan in terms of ensuring that what can we have, this particular process has been happening in a very consultative particular way. And it is one of the successes, hidden successes, that we feel that is coming to the fore. The CDs were distributed free of charge to all provinces. Provinces have made it available freely. We said initially, because we don't have a plan to implement it, and we don't have development and training, they will just make it available, because we know that the entrepreneurs at the school level, and the teachers, school managers themselves will begin to interact with the particular software, and therefore itself create a demand. And so it really actually works. Rather than being an imposed system, it's created the demand in which schools are really now talking to provinces. Can we have the software? Can we have some training? Rather than we saying that you must be trained, you must have the software, and you must come. And it is around like the way IT is. You find those particular champions, and then the champions that take it forward. In developing and implementing the National Unit Record System, SIP system, we will develop the system of linkages and integration. In other words, how do we now link the schools up in terms of their system to the provincial education department and the province to the national? When the system is fully developed, we will be able to, within a week, be able to say how many learners they have left school A, and we won't be able to say to which school that they have attended. Now clearly, that will be subject to every computer, every school being able to be available online, or using manual systems at nodal point, and that the information is provided, that we will be able to say that. If everybody and if the system is working throughout the country, no learner will show up in the school more than once. We do believe that there is going to be major efficiency gain, that the money that we've invested will be paid off, you know, more than once in terms of the efficiency gain that we make. Because we have found in our own data quality check that there is a level of over-reporting. And we have put in place steps to be able to deal with those issues. When MECs themselves have been asked to visit schools that where we have found over-reporting to particularly happen. Because we did a 2%, we do a 2% quality audit, which we're stepping up to a 4% quality audit this year. We will also develop and implement a business intelligent reporting system. And a business intelligent reporting system means it takes all different operational databases, puts it together so that you can see relationships between different data sets. And then it's to improve the quality of all data through data audits. The implementation of data standards, as I indicated, and the enhancement of systems and training in data management areas. So basically, we say that some of the school systems at the school level must be fully functional. Our first priority is that the school will be fully computerized. But the most important issue is that we cannot implement the system now because we cannot get schools to invest time and money to, in terms of a formal process, so informally they're doing it, but in terms of a formal process to get the data into the computer, only to have it stolen. Because this system has to be linked. That is what by next year we will have, that once the school has that data is sent off to a central computer, stored four or five, stored underground at CETA, the state IT agency. And so, if a school computer is stolen, the next day we can hook up a laptop and the school is up and ready and functional ready. I think the frustration is, and that's the reason that we're managing these risks, is that it would not be a good idea to go big bang and say now we have the school administration system and that everything is going to be fine and the schools are going to operate. We want to ensure that we safeguard and the integrity of those particular things. Because people get frustrated. They just get frustrated. Even IT system doesn't work. In the end of the day, we will lose the trust of people. So, operational advanced virtual systems are the LURIC, the Learner Unit Record Information System. Share the names which members are aware of, but I think we did not make a presentation. The portfolio committee didn't ask for that presentation, so we could see that in the new year. We have made presentations to cabinets and to the MECs, as well as the president's coordinating committee around the school infrastructure. So perhaps in the new year, here we could be invited to make that particular presentation. The name shows us information about every school, photographs, sketch plan of the school, aerial photographs, GIS system, partitions of classroom, the measurement of every classroom, the partitions of every classroom by name and number. So we can say block B, classroom number 3, whether the ceiling was missing, etc. And then, of course, other databases like our examination system. So, these operational systems are run by different program managers. For example, Ms. Paletta Trubeka manages what is called our school evaluation database. Our examinations DVD run, the examinations one. So, we our HR manager runs the personnel one. So we are able to bring all these data sets together, and then the way we bring data sets together is to be able to ensure that we have linkages and information. I think I suppose we're moving in the same way as SaaS, selecting the revenue service that knows everything about our personal transactions around when we bought the car, how many kilometers we traveled, or when we made bank transactions, etc. So basically, that is the line. Now, and then clearly we have a reporting layer and to make the decision. We also believe only fully that it's not only going to be of use to the education system, but to all other stakeholders, to unions, to portfolio committees, to government generally, as well as researchers. At the SMG, I think it's called African School Administration Management System. In the next school level, where they enter the details of learners, what their age, what sports they participate in, what the general occupation, they generate class lists, they enter learner marks on there, they enter fee information if they are leaving school, they enter the school budget, curriculum, timetabling, school class list, etc. So that's an administration, even management HR. The LURIC is the Learner Units Record Information System. In other words, we then pull information up of every learner by ID so that you will have 12 million records, and that is pulled up to the transversal national system. NIMS is the National Education Information Management System, dealing with the information around school infrastructure, and then others are other databases. DI is the Business Intelligence Reporting Layer. In other words, how it pulls all the data together to provide us with reports.
So come again with LURIC.
Learner Units Record Information. Learner Unit Record Information Tracking System. See, on the third point, improvement in the DOE structure. Now, clearly, as I indicated, because of the challenges, we have not been organized to be able to deal with the challenges. Especially because we're dealing with a collection of information from about 39,000 institutions, schools, ECB site registered with the Department of Education at that stage, or ECB site offering grade art, FET colleges, ABET centers, schools with special education needs. So it's a massive exercise running the survey, collecting those forms, getting them captured at provincial level with the getting the best piece of provinces, and then at the same time treating the information, etc. So all these functionalities together with the new vision were located within the one direct threat. And so therefore we found that it was not sustainable. And a new directorate was established at the Department of Education to focus specifically on national systems design and development. That means not about the forms and the collection, etc., that goes on, but it's around developing this information system, computerized system. How does data move from the school to the province, to national, etc.? And it was established in April this year. And the director has just been appointed now two months ago. So we've restructured in terms of to improve the capacity in the area of data management, data reporting and dissemination. And if you look back into our history, you see that we had lots of difficulty in actually publishing data on time because we were not getting data in the form that we wanted. But I must say that, and this publication will also be given to members, is that we are able to, for once, this year, before April, we were already able to supply interim and preliminary figures to the Minister of Finance, whereas previously it took almost a year after the date. So 2006 full reality gives us the information of last year, We have the 2007 data, it's already been used for training purposes, and it's going to be published. And then a more comprehensive education statistics, 2005, and we are about to publish the 2006 one. And we have a series of these from around 2000. And statistical analysis as well as geographic information system. We also have obligations to provide information to UNESCO and the other agencies of UNESCO, for example, in terms of education for all, etc. So those are our international obligations. The third component then of the improved information monitoring and evaluation function is fulfilled by a monitoring and evaluation directorate that has been established. And basically what this directorate does is to utilize information that is collected to be able to study them, analyze them, and make proposals around interventions, policy intervention. For example, it was a given that identified a number of years ago that we were having massive under-age enrollment and over-age enrollment. And therefore, certain policy decisions were taken. For example, around the age at grade 1, etc. And we were already beginning to see the result in terms of our education system, where our drop enrollment rate that were over 100% have been coming down towards 100. So coming down towards 100 means that you are becoming more efficient. You are over 100% means you are under and over age people that are not supposed to be in the system or shouldn't be there. And therefore, from around 108%, we are around 101%. So basically, that's the structure, monitoring and evaluation, education management information systems that is working.
I have a comment here.
Yes.
We started at 10 past 3. We are now on page 8. And let's keep that in mind, otherwise, we're going to distract you. I know you are saying it's passion, but if I move every day.
How much time are we going to do? So I think the next 10 minutes.
No,
I'm not saying
that. I'm
saying that
as long as you keep that in
the okay.
Yeah.
So, Chair, this is the summary of the structure headed by Mr. Panza, and we were able to recruit Mr. Panza a little step by step. So, we have lost our game, and Mr. Panza started a few months ago, already he visited all the provinces. And clearly part of that is shown in the report. So it's around systems design and development. It is around the data collection itself. That's the second one that deals with data collection and management and reporting. And then monitoring and evaluation, which analyzes the data and provides us with proposals around policy. Chair, in terms of four, If we shifted this 3 years ago, it wouldn't have even been 10% of the amounts that we see there in terms of EMIS. So again, we need to be thankful that EMIS has been recognized. These are the allocations. They're not ideal, because you will see Eastern Cape took up 7.75 million. Whereas if you look at Northwest, or look at KwaZulu-Natal, or look at Gauteng, I mean, not with a small province, but you can see the government priority was in the Northwest province of how they prioritize EMIS. So when I think we will be able to move as fast as a full network system, as fast as the Philippines province, that's what I'm meaning. So with the Western Cape, with Gauteng, Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal, we're speeding ahead. They will be able to implement, they will be able to get computers in schools, they will be able to get training done. But again, we're going to be battling.
What is the basis of that allocation?
The basis
provincial. So in mind that if they want to put conditionality,
they are
not.
Yes.
Because they then should be
correct.
I think it is the process that came in, of the mind that came in, where it accepted
the provincial government. So it's the interaction between the provincial government when they distribute in different functions. However, Treasury does give an indication to say that look, the national minister has made it a priority. So check this always a struggle. Even this year, Minister Manuel made an announcement where he said that money for learner textbooks, etc.
Now, I'm not highlighting this, but
yeah.
Each for the investment only came to overseas schools. You know, Western Cape is far away from the production of computers. Maybe one of the computers. If they were getting a stamp, when Eastern Cape gave them certain, how much went down of these states in 2005 and they ended up giving them certain, instead of how much?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it should have been proportional. I don't have the figures, I don't have
my survey. But it's of interest to us, so that we know even if we are going to the 15, 18, 19 books, the problem is okay. Where this would be, to know that from the nation, it's a new funding which was put in the program. Progress A was given, 20,000. If you use the authorities, it took the beginning of that and that stage.
Okay. Now, we will be able to give you the information of when we put the bill in, what we expected each one of the provinces to have, as opposed to what's allocated. We have the information here, we can give it to you verbally, but also we can send it to you. But we must be very clear, we always get accused, financial treasury, etc., that we can't say that this is money allocated. We can say that this was a request in terms of the plan that we have. In the end, what articulation is the problem. But yeah, you're correct. It is information that you can then utilize. We have to ask the question, if this is what was required in terms of the national determination around the problem, why is it that the problem has been funding it at a particular level? So yeah, that information will be made available. But however, it's still a massive improvement. If you get no money in that column, Limpopo used to have no money in that particular column where there are now particular funds. But there's an efficient theory.
What can you say about the Free State?
Same thing, in terms of the Free State. Well, there's two determinations I can make. In terms of the Free State has always been moving favorably. So these are the additional funds that have been allocated.
Okay, these are additional.
That's right.
Oh.
So provinces that have already, for example, Kaltek and the Western Cape have already had big budgets in their year. Then in terms of the same table that I've taken, if I just look at 2007-8 column, that is this financial year, I've now broken up the same amount, it's totally 145 million rand for the system totally. We will then see that for 145, broken up no problem in terms of the three projects that I have outlined. There is the rollout of the school administration systems. You can see how tech from is very moving very, very aggressively, as well as KwaZulu-Natal, moving quite aggressively in ensuring that the systems are in place, in the business security systems, and the data quality improvement process. So those are just allocations according to those three programs that I indicated. See, this is the learner unit record information and tracking system. Basically, it's under technical system development, and it's based really on four pillars. And the one is that we have got to design a computer system and a program. How do you enter a learner name? When do you remove a learner? How does information flow? And then the deployment of platforms, systems, architecture, and infrastructure, computers, network cabling, data cards, and a range of particular issues. Now, in terms of IT infrastructure itself, there's a separate bit in terms of e-education and ICT education, deal with the computerization and the cabling and connectivity to all schools. And then provincial planning and support. So we also have to support provinces in terms of the deployment and the development of business processes. You've got to have new staff. You can't just impose a computer system to an existing staff. So you've got to either have new staff or train staff to begin to ensure that the system is kept up to date. These are the timelines, Chief. The technical system development has started on the 1st of October. We would have wanted to start earlier, but here I must say one of the biggest challenges was to be able to get our state IT agency to be able to really understand our business, to be responsive. They themselves have been having difficulties. However, we must say that we have escalated this at CEO level and our IT officer level, that the government IT officer, and we have now had full cooperation from CETA. They put senior people onto the project, and so we are particularly moving quite fast with that. Our end date is 28 January. So in a sense, say, if you invite us March or April, we can kind of demonstrate how the actual system itself works. It will be 75, it's at the moment 75% complete. The deployment of the... Okay, the issue is that, remember what we want is we want a computer system at school level where you must be able to enter the application form, details of the learner, when does the learner leave the school, when does the learner transfer to the school. So then you've got to design the database. You've got to design the field so people can enter numbers in. That information will go into the database. It must be moved to the national database. The same way that if we're doing, for example, the circuit registration of a car,
that's at the national level.
Well, that's like we're doing this. It's through ours. We're developing this. Once it's developed, it's going up to provinces who are not, they don't have a car, basically.
So because nothing we start a rural income in this school, we can know it's nothing.
No.
Something that is done needs money.
Yes, but it's coming to this because there's a point here.
Now say you can divide by 10.
Yes.
Whereas 60% of the school in Eastern Cape have no computer, no electricity, so not. They are not affected by it.
Yeah, for downloading it's affected because of the design of it.
Oh, I see. So then it's now designed.
Yes,
sir.
Up to point today, the 75% is complete. Our end date is 28 February. So by 28 February, we should be 100% complete.
We can make that.
That means if anybody has computers in the school and it is linked via a data line, we will be able to read every learner's particular change. You can come to us and say, I know this kid in this school. And if we see it on national level,
I'm saying one thing that you can't do one because they don't have a computer.
Correct.
And I'm trying to push that so that they don't control teachers.
Right.
Yes,
sir.
I'm thinking the school has a computer. Who is responsible for making access to the
internet? It is the problem.
For the problem.
Yes. Because it's infrastructure based on the school level. We would like to have it here. Because then, overall. But however, our ICT strategy, which is already funds allocated to that, in a year or two, is already budgeting for that in terms of public-private partnership. And if that strategy works, then we will have that full scale. However, we haven't left our state school. We haven't left our state school. In our strategy, we think that school will also still be able to complete manual forms. Yet it's to either the district office or we will be providing the principal with a laptop so that they can do it electronically and then be able to send it off from their home or wherever else if they have access. So a number of alternatives have been worked up in the particular plan because we want the plan to come up the same. Then in terms of now deploying the system, in other words, let's go and install it. First of September to the 15th of December, there is the deployment of the software. So that means working with CETA, ensuring that all the infrastructure is particularly in CETA. So that's 60% completed.
And even that has nothing to do with the company.
Yes. Yeah. Division.
Oh. for now, 28 15% in general.
That's
we have not taken on board that program of incarceration.
Yeah. So we are dealing with that problem in terms of containing space. Is actually there a
problem? Yeah, that's why I have to move. Remember, we are constantly thinking of our rural areas out, so that in case we need to use this, how can we take 100% when 50% of our school is involved for rural energy? And you have to manage. And you are saying, this is not based on that. We are doing donations.
See, and then we have to play with promises, because by the time we're ready with the system and we want to install it in the school, we need to know that the problem is the budget. That they addressed it, they committed the budget, and that they are able to ensure that people are being able to be trained at whatever level of implementation we're going to be working at that problem. So some of the implementation is going to be at provincial head office, at justice offices, and in some provinces it will be in schools. So we have to see that the problem has the money and ensure that they are able to contract in time to ensure that it is complete.
That 90% is telling us our main problem is how 90% is preparing for
yes. No, we work with provinces. Yeah. In, that is planning process. So we already have 90% in terms of what are the budgets, what is it going to be utilized for, what are the time frames in which you're going to be ready in the next financial year to be able to implement when we come in. Because we don't have a situation where we develop a system and they say we have no money. Just one correction. I misread the first one. The handbook should have been 28 February 2007. It doesn't have a technical development. Started in October 2006. That should have been, we 75% completed. Part of the problems and the challenges were the CETA issues. So we are dealing. We will be 25% behind time around that particular process because 28 February is passed. Process design and development, our time frame is 28 February 2008, and that's the most important point where other processes need to fit in by the 28th of February 2010. With 25% complete, indications are that we will be by February 2008, we will be 100% complete in terms of the design and the development of the system. That's where I invited a committee to invite us in March or so to come and give a demonstration of the.
Can you see this thing that you are going to invite us? That would have happened. What is it that you speak to the cabinet and what they do with explaining that? What can you call that?
The National Education Infrastructure Management System. It's about the condition of schools. It's about telling us that we've improved in our infrastructure, however, we still have large backlogs, and that of all the backlogs we have in the country, we witnessed that we have 40% in the ACJ. So, it is that report, and what are we going to do about it?
And you say that one is life, age is respect on that, and see that in family school.
Yes, we can see photographs now, we can see photographs.
Not that you call in my stuff.
Yes, I will show you 1,000 photographs, 30,000 photographs. The report is complete on the website, though. Yeah.
Can I see it on your website?
Yes, they will be able to see.
Can I, when I move here, it's yes.
Absolutely. It is the National Education Infrastructure Management System, and you'll find it under the branch system planning and monitoring.
I will need an appointment.
Okay. Chair, then that's not the words. The South African SAM, the School Administration and Management System, it is that computer schools are already using, but they're not lying, they're not lying. They're already using it. The Free State, I'm afraid, has been a province that has taken this up the fastest, like wildfire, with the provincial education department that supported schools, trained schools. So these Computer systems are available in most of the
schools.
It's
quite obvious.
The system is lagging behind.
Well, the important point is that the Western Cape is also not that advanced in terms of the rollout of the SFS3CE. Because they were too late in taking up the advantages that the system had. But now they are beginning to now move the strategy towards also utilizing this system. It is that system that will feed information. So if, for example, we activate at the point that we want to know the occupation of the parents of all the children, and we want to category, what percentage are teachers, what percentage are plumbers, etc., we will be able to get that information if the school has captured that particular information. If the school has captured that. Provincial education departments are rolling it out, and our role is to maintain the FAFM. Every time there's a request, and the fifth grade has really given us quite a few requests, which is great. So we spend money, we amend the system, and then we put out the new version. We also amended it to ensure that it meets the national curriculum statement and other relevant policies. So as we change policies, we're continually keeping it updated. Okay, this is the progress in terms of the rollout. This is a very important particular report. We can see, for example, that in the Eastern Cape there are 6,123 schools. The number of schools that have received on the CD are 6,000. So here you can then test the school that you are referring to, just to ask whether they did receive a school administration system on CD. Hopefully it's not one of the 123 schools that didn't get it. But also then to ask how is it being used. At the moment, as I indicated, it's just been given out and schools get to use it on their own because we haven't yet rolled out the plan of training and development. Now, the number of schools where the official training on the system have been completed is 850 in the Eastern Cape. Free State is 488, for example. We can see how then. I'm not sure what happened to the three schools, and perhaps the Gauteng rep will pay. Perhaps they closed down or whatever, but the issue is that they close to 100% of making it available. They are more than halfway through with training of schools, and already we are, some provinces are receiving data. So it is that piloting process that is going on, where in the Northern Cape, 400 schools, now, in the Northern Cape, we must understand that part of the 200 summer schools that don't have it is part of the demarcation of the schools that came over from Northwest. Because the Northern Cape was 100%, because that's where the system was particularly piloted. And then there's also plans of how many schools still to be trained, and then the estimated number of schools using other third parties' school administration systems. And as I indicated, the Western Cape is not just a thing, because they already developed a learner unit record system as part of the pilot that we had supported. And they did not use the school administration system, but they are moving towards this year. So, the proposal started with 30% of all public schools to utilize this. The deans also tells us how many schools have computers, and that's 32%. Therefore, 8,960 have computers. So our target is a bit low, and we can now speed it up because a lot of schools have computers. Here, in terms of our work, if I move off these program activities, is we set the protocol of steps on Africa. And if I'm not mistaken, it was the first that they carried out. Is that, I think, one of the first?
Just one moment, please. Can you explain the G after improvement here? And how it appears to us?
Oh, sorry. It, It's part of the editing. In this release this year. The G on the heading. It's an improvement. We're saying a protocol was set on Epitel where they will assist us with capacity, but also in ensuring that our statistics begin to meet their standards and international standards. But most importantly, Chair, Central Africa has a mandate for statistics in South Africa in terms of the quality assurance of statistics in South Africa. A lot of the statistical agencies over the world, if you want to get the statistics, you go to the statistics agency. However, Central Africa itself are beginning to deal with just basic socio-economic information, and currently one doesn't see them having that capacity. However, since they are building the capacity within the education department, they are obligated in terms of the Statistics Act to declare collections made by other parties whether it could be regarded as official or not. So at the moment, the statistics that we provide are only official in terms of the education department, not in terms of the Statistics Act. And we want to move our quality delivery to such a level that when we collect information, it has the statistics of having the stamp of approval, then it will be regarded by law to be official statistics. They're also assisting us to comply with the South African Statistic Quality Assurance Framework, and we also in collaboration with UNICEF for the enhancement of EMA, especially in regards to monitoring children's rights. So UNICEF is providing that support to us so that when we collect information, our children being fed, are they being provided with education, that we can strengthen that part of the education statistics to particularly report on ensuring that children's rights are being met. And then together with social development and other departments and Department of Labor, etc., to begin to look at children at out of school. And how we are able to monitor them, but immediately be able to, if they are out of school, to find out why they are out of school and how to bring them into the school itself. Often children out of school are the responsibility of agencies outside the education department. So it's our social agencies, it is our police, it is community workers, etc., who are able to see these children, identify them. But at least if they bring them to our attention, it is our obligation to ensure that we provide for the educational right. Chair, I indicated about the publications that we released. All these reports are available on our website. For even there is also a special link where you can download the data and information, put it on your spreadsheet, and do your own graphs, etc. with the information. We have also published national guidelines for schools on how to complete the survey form. We have electronic data capturing capability. In other words, the form itself, although handwritten, the numbers can be put into a machine and the machine will read the numbers. And we currently will be doing another capacity assessment of provincial education departments. We do this every year. We provide reports to head of departments. We think that you don't have sufficient capacity, etc. Now, the challenges that we still that we're facing: late submission of data by province. The situation is improving because we have been able to use EDCOM and the minister to be able to ensure that provinces are able to comply. Now, provinces that were not able to comply, there were situations in the Eastern Cape where there was one person responsible for managing the whole EMA system, located in East London, and what is actually a feature that has been seconded. I'm not sure the situation is improved now, but the issue is that those are the type of realities that we face. So the provinces are not even making sure that urgent and critical posts were at least referred and they were not being affected by other restructuring processes. However, we are also facing a scale crunch. the country itself lacks skills in advanced statistical analysis. Here, the whole issue around the contestation around our participation figure is one of them. There aren't sufficient researchers in the country to be able to even read individual statistics and make meaningful comments about it. And therefore, there's a lot of misinterpretation of statistics and information, but also advanced skills in being able to utilize that. We particularly face a challenge, especially with the complicated and complex questions, that fundamental questions that we have to particularly deal with. It is in our interest, all of us in the education system, public residents, etc., to ensure that we get up-to-date information, because that's the only way that we will be able to improve the loss of our people. Now, we are putting in place, we're trying to deal with this situation. We're looking at collaborating with higher education institutions. Instead of saying you train people, we want to begin to look at giving them a grant that they can start a chain or they can start a unit in terms of beginning to shape for the next 5 or 10 years a skill of people in Yemen. There's also difficulty in recruiting and retaining scarce skills. Yeah, I hope you keep an eye on the Sampanga, because I hope it's still with us next year. I'm using the example because at senior management level, there's a lot of mobility. We get many just coming in for 6 months, and they go on and they step out. And so there's a lot of difficulty in recruiting and retaining. And we are exploring even better salary packages. And we want to move away from the culture that is one salary package for everybody, just because you're a public servant. Everybody must have. But it's a difficult culture to break within the system to say, I need Ms. Rebecca, she has skill and I need to ensure that I will do that. But in any case, then it comes on a solution. Because
I'm waiting forever to push me again.
Okay.
I'm just taking myself out of it. That needs time to question the
balance. Okay. So, Chair, this is around the training in terms of the school administration system. Okay, these are provincial reports. So, what the Eastern Cape has done, they've trained 1,400 of the 1,500 schools, they've trained circuit managers, they've purchased 95 computers to search support schools and schools. They are in the advanced stage of implementing the business intelligence solution, and then they have done a data quality audit in a number of the.
They have 1,400. They have 1,400 plus schools, 1,500 schools. But that means there are 300 schools in the
region. Yeah?
There are 300 schools.
No, of the 1,400 schools that were targeted.
What are the data of the target?
The amount of fundraisers. Yeah, this is the Eastern Cape
victim. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm trying to make it to the fund. How does one end that thing? I need 1,500 out of the million. Or so, whatever number.
Of the 6,000?
Yes. Of the 6,000, how did they decide of the money? Well, that's because of the funding of national or the
lack
of qualification in the government.
Yes. That's possible. If they had the money, they would have had a plan to do all that.
What would the criteria be to
delete
a school and
solve the problem? The problem would be the criteria. It would be availability of electricity. It would be the availability of computers, a number of others. That's probably the best criteria.
Yeah, again, I'm a data problem. It meant before I come to criteria is that when you say 15 students, 1,500, out of the many who are there, and that is one of those disadvantages, probably, to be supposed to prioritize. One is that with some red light.
Yeah. Yes, but it is a consequence of under funding. Chair, in terms of the Eastern Cape, they are submitting their the leaders who are supporting the submission date. We in the Eastgate department is in the process of appointing even directors at the district level. They have advertised posts. The data capturing is in quality assured, and we provided them a tool with it. They have improved in the 2007 quality assurance process. They've been wanted at the district level. So there's been major improvements there. In three states, the department has rolled out the package to all schools. 488 schools have been trained on the use. Again, that is dependent on the funds that they have. They've even provided us with the they've got an e-book online, and it's been designed and implemented during 2006-07, and you can go to that address, EMIS, Free State, etc. to be able to look at the EMIS online. They're already installing the network, and they've already installed administrative network in 400 schools. They're in the process of appointing contract workers to do training at school level, and a physical and another headcount was done in August. They found 100 schools where there were discrepancies, and they pointed out to the principal, and as we indicated, principals were even given warning letters that they would face dismissal in terms of providing fraudulent figures. In the Gauteng province, as we indicated, that 1248 schools have been saved, the data has been captured, it's stored on CDs, the business intelligence is quite advanced. And perhaps we should invite the committee could come to invite the Gauteng to come and demonstrate, and in the Western State to demonstrate some of their particular tools. And invite everybody and perhaps ask a question. The previous table is shared, there's a table right in front that shows the number of schools in the province, 2,403. Business intelligence solutions, data quality has been done, and they have felt capacity at this level on our emails. But we will tell again, shared these are all on the detail in terms of 500 schools have been provided with computers, 415 schools have been trained. They further continue with further 500 of training. They put in place the electronic data capturing. That is where you put a form in and the system reads it. Their business intelligence, they've already purchased their web content software, and reports have already been developed, and they're also training their senior management in using the business intelligence tool. The business intelligence raw data. It is able to answer questions like the way the shape asking questions. That's where you can put it. Probably with the business intelligence system would be able to give you those particular relationships. They also have put in place plans and activities around data quality system. That's the report from Limpopo again with those four headings. They have installed the system in their inner lady schools. Their target is focused to their manners into schools using the system. Mpumalanga, to the northwest, the reports are in front of members. If I can just move through these particular issues to look at the challenges in the Eastern Cape. Only 26% of posts filled, according to the current Western calendar. They've identified the issue of service statisticians, renovated administrators, programmers, etc. Activities are being hampered because of the lack of this particular skill. And what the hell are they not able to do? They're not able to provide outside support school. They're not able to provide a help desk function. Simple function where if you can't have 100 people, have one person at least answering a telephone call as well. They are able to produce statistical reports. Free State is facing the problem of low levels of basic computer skill. That's still due to computer literacy. They are dealing with the return of some reforms from the institution, and they see the need to increase the use of people, and we are of course agree with the need to increase the use of people that don't think they're made up of level. Content is the lack of human resources both at district and school level, so it's coming out not only the provinces but our own assessment around skills. They have hesitated posts, but they can gain the fully takes a long time, and you know that. Some people probably succeed in coming to those posts, but they lose them in a month or two. They also face challenges of poor network connectivity, data quality, slow return of survey forms. They have particular difficulties because they have the biggest percentage of independent schools or receiving information from independent schools. But we are looking at ways in which we work out then to begin to look at de-registering the schools if they don't begin to comply with the law. Limpopo also similar challenges. Mpumalanga has a challenge with CETA, which seems to be the case in a lot of cases. Procurement problems, for example, in the northern case, not procurement problems, but the issue of just a delay in the procurement process. Now, sometimes it's very planning on the side of the program manager, on other times it is around the project. Forms are not properly by service providers, the evaluation process takes time. It takes longer than what you had anticipated for. Western Cape, which is going to be a problem all over the chain. Businesses already in the CBDs are already facing this problem where there are certificates operating. So it's one of the biggest challenges and students actually face. That's why we wanted the strategy to say that we will want to ensure that our data is not kept at school level. Because, you know, you can steal hardware, but it's still data, it's going to take you months to put that data back into a particular place. So when people are ready, how can Kempera, they put in security guards, they put in bungee approving, they put in armed response. In some cases, the guards are selling automatic rifles, etc. But the issue is with all that. It's installed today, the next day it's gone. So, we are aware of it, and we're trying to, new technologies are going to assist with that process. But we don't want to make losses in this particular process. So, Chair, with those words, I can, and I'm sorry, I think it's not.
Before
we
start,
I think just to add on, I think some of the things that we've managed to do provincially is to standardize already 13 years of e-mail data. And we've been able to put it into the business intelligence solution where we can now produce trends. So we've also automated the reporting requirements against the annual performance plan, against the annual report as well, automatically designed on the system. I think what is not covered here and why Gauteng has got such a big budget is that we have prioritized that for the single source of truth, to be really truthful, you've got to start focusing on the operational systems. And the operational systems are not only what is happening in schools, but also the services that are provided by the department. So, one of the things that we've identified is that we have a very incoherent history about schools over the last 13 years. What kind of support they receive, how many visits did they receive from officials for curriculum or non-curricular activities, how many learners were referred to from public schools to special schools. So we want to start systematizing all the transactional data around the system that the department is offering directly or indirectly to schools. So that starts to build up also your input model as to what is the level and quality of the inputs into the education system. And then it's another area that we're focusing on, that we expanded tremendously over this particular period. In terms of the target of schools, out of 1,900 public ordinary schools, we found that 500 schools that already had school administration packages. And we were rolling that out to the balance of the schools that didn't have it. And this year we have introduced the last 400, which means that by the end of this academic year, we would have completed the rollout to all public ordinary schools, which is the selection at the FSM. I think that our request is now, together with the learner unit record tracking system, we requested that there should be an integration level between the South African School Administration Package and the Learner Unified Court System, so schools don't have to capture information twice. So from the school administration system, they'll be able to upload into the Learner Unified Court tracking system so that there's no duplicate systems operating at school level as well.
No, thank you
very
much.
Sure.
Because of what we have 1 hour for both parties and 1 hour.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's a finally very short presentation. It's primarily information on the process. And I'm assuming that the committee invited us because this is an area about which there's been quite a lot of stress in the system about what is happening around districts. And really the presentation is to brief committee on some of the processes that have been started. Firstly, Chair, just to say at national level, we have now created a unit, a directorate to focus on driving the process of justice because the concern is shared by the system as a whole. Firstly, there's recognition in the system that education systems are the link between education sites and both the provincial education department and the national department and the Institute of Quality Education. They play a very critical role in ensuring that education needs are both understood and addressed, and that national learning objectives are achieved. Thirdly, that to date, as committee would agree, districts have been organized according to provincial preferences and needs rather than the national framework. And that there's been a lot, you know, that has been different across the country. District nomenclature and structures have also differed from province to province, and therefore the intensity and quality of service delivery has varied considerably from district to district across the country. So what I've decided to do is to give you a sense of what existed or prevailed pre-1994, because in many ways both the taste of what has happened in districts have been influenced to a great extent by what we see on the screen now. Things that we know that, you know, that all of us have always known, the differences in per capita expenditure, the differences in the services that have been provided historically, and the differences in teacher learner ratio. These have influence share the different provinces differently. The, you know, services have been affected greatly. For instance, if you look at provinces like Western Cape, Northern Cape and Gauteng, who have not inherited great parts of homeland or former DC schools, those in a sense have been able to move faster. They have benefited from the amalgamation and therefore have been able to provide better services, and more services have been able to deal with those parts of DET that were characterized by underfunding, underprovisioning, and less or greater numbers of underqualified teachers, because there will be fewer, there will be less, there will be more resources in those provinces. But if you look at the other provinces, they have been affected immensely, and that's what we're dealing with. You know, those are the provinces that inherited huge portions of, I mean, great numbers of that belong to former homelands. And therefore, even in terms of what they've been able to provide, and in terms of the pace of change and going in the direction that you want, wish to go, those have been greatly affected, and therefore are offering a limited basket of services altogether. In fact, if we look at the provinces combined, we will find that many of them, all nine, would have core services that they offer. Curriculum management, institutional management and development and support, and to some extent, some support for inclusive education. But those that inherit a greater part of former House of Assembly, former House of Delegates, those would have other services that they also offer, human resources, you know, psychological services, as well as financial management. In terms of the legal position also of districts, there's no precise legal definition in South Africa of the opposition. And districts still have no original power or functions that are prescribed by law. And in each province, districts are demarcated to their names and their sub-complements established by the MEC for education in terms of the Public Service Act of 1994. Therefore, we have recognized, and that's why we have established a unit now, that there are changes that have to be made. And I know that the question throughout the system has been, it has taken a bit too long. But this is an area that is now receiving final focus. Some of the things that you say must happen are especially, you know, this must be established in the final focus. That they must focus on support for learning and must be appropriated staff for that purpose primarily. And they must become centers of real authority, so we must look at the delegation, because currently in many of the provinces, they don't have any real authority. We expect them to do certain things, but actually they don't have any real power or authority delegated to them. They must have the capacity to give professional support of high quality to educators and leaders in schools. We have started a process towards the policy framework. It has started, and this policy development process is to express a national vision for education districts in the transformation of the education system. It is beginning to determine standardized roles, powers, and responsibilities for all districts. And it provides a normative framework for their management and operation, including support to educational sites. Chair, if I could just give a sense of how different these districts are. If you look at the various provinces, it differs from a district that we say serves 84 schools, like in the Northwest. And I think, Gauteng, if I'm not mistaken, and others can correct me here, they you know, district services approximately 156 schools. But if you look at the province, like in Limpopo, one district services about 825 schools. Now, that's the kind of differentiation that currently exists in the country. The scope of the policy framework also entails ensuring a common understanding of the concept of an education district and its related responsibilities, the power, so that we know, somebody yesterday was talking about the United States of South Africa, and we're saying we want to move away from that, we're not being a federal state, just to ensure that they, you know, we understand these commonly, and you know, the powers that are delegated to districts are the same throughout the country, as well as what the structural components of an education district offers would be, and that we would be determining an organogram for districts. Some of the services that we're putting in the policy framework, and I'll speak to the time frame that we're working to, we're saying firstly the overriding purpose of the Bachelor of Services should be to advance the implementation of quality education and improve service delivery in all education institutions. And the Bachelor of Services includes planning and coordinating the roles, support and functions of circuit managers, which are the units, organizing units closer to the school, coordinating and implementing and monitoring curriculum and development support services, management and support services, implementing institutional development, management and support services, facilitating and coordinating education services and programs, including social and specialized functions, rendering financial and supply chain management services, planning, coordinating and implementing school psychological guidance, life skills, social media and therapeutic services for all learners. Those are some of the core functions that you see in education districts. And the policy development process is meant to ensure uniformity of districts nationally in terms of roles, responsibilities, and their organizations, standardization of terminology, systems, structures, and staffing, as well as operations across the system. And as I said already, there is an organogram that we work on that contains the purpose and function of the various components that make up the district office. The broad time frame that we're working to, Chair, we have had a process that has run almost throughout the year that has also had comments back to CEM and back. And at the last CEM meeting, a small committee of heads was put together to finalize the document that can be looked at broader in the system. And this is being discussed with the provincial heads of education next week, Tuesday, on the 6th of November. We're hoping that that document, that guidelines, policy guidelines for the entire system to staff and delegate authority to districts in a uniform way across the country, that document can be approved by CEM in January of 2008. And then what we will then begin to do, because provinces are at different states of readiness to actually deliver in the way that we said, for the reasons that I've articulated already, and because of the limited funds and capacity that is in the different provinces, we will then at national level put together courses and put together a safe implementation program that we can present to Treasury for funding. We're hoping that by January 2009 we can begin to work in the district so that all districts in the country are positioned to support quality learning in our schools. That's where we are shared with the process. Thank you very much.
But in your now steps, getting my own classes, unfortunately, okay, you want to speak. But it's somewhere in your presentation of life must be established and defined in law. When you say law, you talk up. So I really talk about that for 2019 something. Remember to come to other good acts and I say that too so that this part of that project. Head back was sponsored switch in Libyan plasma statement. So we have some time now for questions. I won't limit numbers. Even the Gamora. Why don't we start with the last one? Let's spend some time. I have another question. I've worried about the secretary of the speaking room. Can you ask questions of the last one first? Start them with that.
No, I really want to thank you for talking about the first time when this president acknowledges
but except in the weaker link in our education system, so we just hope that we can be just for the fun. On this round, are we possible to have the time to look at it? It was very interesting.
I'm also very excited about this. Looking at the changes that Sasak must be made and comparing that with the broad calculations we did, I'm just looking at things like changing the district offices to center of support for crisis relief, for instance. Having the capacity to give professional support. I was just thinking, for me, 2019 is too far. The sooner we have this regional office working well, the better finish line for the social quality of education. I was just saying that some of the two days we can sooner than this.
Thank you. I of course also echo the concerns that the CDG has about the focus on specifically at their huge areas. They have great concern. I would also like to know that when you talk about the basket of service delivered by districts on that continuous phase, on your last bullet point, you refer to the planning, coordinating, and implementing school psychological guidance of service commodities, life skills, paper, and medium, and therapeutic services for all learners. And may I just ask whether that, of course, now with the new amendment law that was passed a month or while ago in Parliament, that of course that is going to be catered for there as well. I was just keen on that. And surely the third last bulletin also talks on specialised functions with what you specifically refer to there. Thank you, sir.
No,
I haven't as well.
Thank
you, sir. I just want to understand, because the presenter has indicated that there is no reason to take whether they should apply some form of education amendment to the existing and so on. In other ways, how are we going to move with this thing? Is it going to come after the court of implementation? Because obviously, the joy of the court. Because the declaration is obviously like that more money is going to be allocated to them. And then on the issue of the size of the youth districts. You have indicated that there are so many variables and so on, different sizes and all that. Are we going to be informed about the determinants of the size of the system? Well, obviously, it can't just be density of population, both affecting issues like research and so on, and weigh these things so that there is some report of work. Especially the issue of the context, how the social groups move, including the legal aspects that would be involved to the authority, power, and the institution.
You can respond.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. But that is in line also with the reason why we haven't come with the actual norm at the moment, but to indicate that the things that the honorable member is referring to are indeed being factored in. We look at issues like geographic location, we're looking at the numbers of schools, we're looking at all of those things to know this. So it is not a simple matter of how many schools are there. For instance, if you actually look at the province, like the Northern Cape, the distances are such that you have to factor that in if you're looking at the norm. I'm trying to find my question. I can go properly through the question. I don't know why I need, but now I've misplaced the question every up. But in relation to the function that there was a question about what specialized functions we should do. Now, what we have done is to look at what things would usefully be located in a district as opposed to a school. And for instance, some of the children that we're dealing with, and if you're looking at our policy for inclusive education, for instance, some of the children that we have may need speech therapy, may need specialized services like that, which are not your normal school guidance or psychological services, but they're over and above that. And you're saying those are things that would certainly be housed in a district seven, I mean in a district office as well. The question of the legal status indeed, as the chair was saying, what we need to do is to then, at the moment we're looking at the concept and at the conceptualization of district. But as we have said, if they have no legal status, it is difficult for them to do the work that they're meant to do. But we will factor that into the timeframe, which is the caution that the chair was raising to say, as we plan on implementation, look at the effect on that. We certainly have done that. But it links, chair, to what implementation would mean. This is an area that has been of concern not only to ourselves, but it has been of concern to the entire system. So not the DOP, but the entire system. As a result, what we're finding in the provinces is that all of the things that I'm talking about are things that are being discussed in the provinces as well. And therefore, the change in making the focus of district support for quality learning is already beginning to happen. And different provinces are at different points. Again, linked to where the starting point is. For instance, if you're looking at the Western Cape, already the Western Cape is far ahead of many of the provinces. If you're looking at Gauteng is again much more advanced in delivering the services that we're talking about. So for them, the issues are not as great as, for instance, in provinces like Limpopo or the Eastern Cape where people are far behind. So again, it is not a matter of saying we will delay ensuring that districts focus on quality. We've already been doing capacity building. But you cannot, of course, unless the policy framework which has a legal status, you cannot begin to start and make sure that you've got all of the districts operating in the same way. So that's what we're addressing. But as a commitment in the system, that's something that we done already. And just to assure the honorable member that the 2009 is to say when we're hoping to have a legal binding document by the process starts now.
Okay, we can go back to the first one.
Thanks, Jennifer. On the personal field, I think we really we actually see the work that that is being done as far as the mission information. But Shepherd, I'm more concerned about the projections. Because I believe that we have got to have information in order to make appropriate decisions. And for us to make the right decision, we have got to have accurate and reliable information. And we can only get, maybe wrong, I used to say, I believe we can only get accurate information and reliable information from the school, from the institution. And like we have been interacting as the presentation was going on, we can say that there are still a lot of schools where it is not possible to get that system operating in place because of lack of staff infrastructure, right? Because the schools are not able to deal. Now, at the same time, we have got, and then, for instance, in as far as the categorization of schools according to things. And for us to do that, we need this system that is going to give us accurate information so that we categorize the school accurately, depending on whether the school deserves to belong to the place we have or not. But how do we do that in the meantime when it is not possible to get accurate and reliable information? Unless the department can assure us that even those who don't have the necessary infrastructure in the school, but the information that we have on which we base our decisions now is reliable and accurate, or is something being done to ensure that while we are still facing the issue?
I have a few questions, but I'll try and just make a comment because I unfortunately have to lead to another commitment. It's just the issue on page 18 where the total number of schools are, and then, for example, just the first column on, I think, a few pages later where the training has been done and the delivery of the CDs or stamps and whatever. It's, of course, as a newcomer to the community, I do understand that schools are targeted as provinces choose on whatever criteria they might use. But it of course, is, I'm sure, alarming to all of us that out of the 34,000 schools, the target is not even 20% at the moment due to lack of funding and whatever. And surely one should try and motivate or put pressure on to getting the provinces to ensure, because the quicker the better, we have systems in all schools, of course. I, however, would also have wanted to see the issue around procurement or tenders, you know, timely being done, and the test that you just elaborated, because I was scared when you said only the Western Cape, because I know in the other provinces is happening, and of course, what are we putting up front there as a minimum precaution matter, at least, that schools have to adhere to. But also on page 18, if you look at Limpopo, it zeroes all the way, and later on in your documents you actually say they will be targeted in the next quarter, but you know, if your next quarter up to February or so that figure to me is concerning. I just did the calculation, I mean, we currently have 4,156 schools that have done the training out of 24,775. There are other matters. Tax, of course, is quite a, almost get a gamble, quite a thing for people to get all the right and read it correctly, of course, which you can quite manipulate, and this is your question. But it's just a concern of mine, the faith that we are going in, at this concerning. And of course, I would have liked to see in each province how many are primary and how many are secondary schools. Thank you.
No other question. The night room might be another one. We have a number of given dates for Christian Mania. And inside the age is the art. And we are carrying teachers everything. And schools are not teaching 8 hours. They take 2 or 3 weeks. Is there a company that has to be able to say, I'm from a number of times that I use a teacher. So even a given week, almost every week, the school stops at 10 instead of 3. To me, that's a very deep impact in this generation. Do these two things any way of covering that in a given school day? We are supposed to be in a given year, 5 or 6 hours. How many days? And out of that, can we have those mistakes? I think those are all the questions that we have.
Thank you, Chi. I mean, I think the first one was more of a comment around the importance of information for decision making and for policy making, but I think that there was a particular a question about whether currently we have accurate and reliable information that supports decision making and policy. Yeah, absolutely. In other words, the decisions and policies that are made, both by America, in terms of parliament, in terms of our ministry, and in terms of our planning, is based on the situation that we know. It would be irresponsible to make a decision based on not knowing anything. So I think the question would be, is would it improve our decision making? Would it improve the quality of that? Certainly, yes. It would improve it to the extent that it will make it more fine-tuned. If we know that the issues learners are not going to school, yes, we'll be able to deal with it from a policy point of view. We'll be able to put processes in place, and we will be able to over time deal with that problem. That's not policy. However, if we have the names of every learner, then we can make sure that in terms of policy, it is not only the best that we measure, but that we actually have measuring my name and my family. So it is the level of the ability to take particular decisions. So I think we should not be afraid that any of the decisions that we have already taken are incorrect decisions. But what we need to say is that it will definitely improve our level of decision making. I think the issue of the comments around the capitalism of schools and around poverty put them to the net, we need to look at, and I think maybe that's not one of the examples that we could utilize. The issue is incorrect classification of schools is not based on the issue of data. Because there's no way we are going to be able to get the accurate information around the actual situation of every household. So we have to rely on the official statistics of governments that have been got an official legal stamp. That it has been collected in a way that statistics are accurate. That's the credibility of those particular statistics. It's legal. And we use that information. Now, in a way that we particularly use it, in a way that the dynamics happen in communities, is that they change. And our funding policy is very clear that we use those statistics as a broad brush approach. But if there is any member of the community, any member of the community, etc., that has came to understand any absurdity around the court challenge. It's something that we say that must be dealt with, and the mechanisms in the policy are they able to deal with. The head of the department, the NEC, can change the ranking. If we know that the community is poor and it's been allocated 5, with that thing we have to wait until the data is done. I think What we need to do is put and show to the people who have the decision making power to do that assembly. So part of this managerial issue that I think is the management of it. We need to find out where the problems are, learning in communities, are learning to their contestation, and us giving them answers. I think that is very important. You need to tell somebody to give an answer. Yes, you are in total three, but all other schools below you in total three are 1 hour off with you. And this is why they work for 10 times. But if it's an error, then it needs to be corrected. I think the issue around debt, the minimum requirements are in terms of safety and security and infrastructure is that they're not requirement proofing. It's a minimum requirement. Other requirements about pushing security personnel, etc. Provinces have their own policies within them, and said, but I think the solution is not to spend more money on high-tech bars and whatever else. The issue is to look at using the technological means of ensuring the safety of equipment. Because, for example, that's where you can use network technology. So your computer is stolen. At least tomorrow you can be up and running. The important issue is how we safeguard the data and the information. But generally, safety and security of school is a general concern that will have to be tackled holistically, because there is no respect for our schools. I think in terms of the focal issue, the primary information data that can be made available, if we need to split this up into primary and secondary schools, we can make it available to the secretary. Here, and then your question on the, sorry, in terms of the Nakoko one, we'll also provide information around the issues, but it's clearly the issue of funding. Here, yes, it can be done. And in fact, we are concerned about the issue of the utilization of the school days. We need to treat it like a budget. Say, of the 196 days, how many are utilized for school activities, sport and recreation? How many are utilized for cultural activities? How many are utilized for these obligations of attending school? How many are utilized for examinations? There are some schools that forever write examinations. And how many are actually used for teacher contact time? Some of the days are used for administration, where teachers are sitting and doing. Now, part of the issue is data and information are not solid. Together with a management process, firstly we need to empower school principals to indicate to them what are the policies of the utilization of school time, what are the limits and limitations. So for example, there have been reports that schools have been closed. That's illegal. Now, we've got to balance the issue of the need, of a traditional need, to either pay respects. But on the other hand, if the upkeep of every day in the community, should the school be filled every day? And then there's a policy position we need to particularly take. And there's something we may need interacting with societies, with communities around the issue, that if it's taken as an insult that the school is not at the funeral of a child or the death of a child that died, and so it's a cultural, traditional mindset that will have to be taken, but the policy decision that we need to take. Yes, once we put those issues in place, we think we can capture it, and if we've got the cooperation of the school principal, because they can still lie to us, they can still not report on those things, and even if we're not there, we're not there. And I think there is about the willingness of the school principal. We have just, in the final stages of concluding a study on the absentee and the. And that begins to point around proposals around managing gender attendance. There is currently no system around the management of attendance system, national system. Provinces, it's the responsibility of provinces. See, if I may just then conclude, one general point to make is that when we say, I think we are continually improving. And when you see that nothing has been in place, it's for example, that districts don't have a legal status. I mean, what we have realized is that in our first 10 years, in the way that we have managed the education system, is that provinces have the power to make decisions, have the power to make their own policies because of the current function. I think, for example, the districts are not illegal, they are established at the very descent in terms of the public service regulations. That's a bureaucratic particular structure. And there was provinces could have evolved their own. I think the question we have now is that there's a decision that we need a national framework. And in that process, we are able to implement tomorrow. Because we know the provinces go through restructuring like the way we change clothes. And so that causes a lot of instability. So in that national process, we've got to be very careful that we move all parts of the system, particularly the other. Thank you.
I think it's time now that we clean up the things that we are able to clean up. And I'm talking in the context of some plain financial management of provinces. And let's say, colleagues, in terms of allocation of funds to this kindergarten school. Everywhere we go, it is the same problem of the kindergarten school not getting this allocation to us. I was even shocked to read in the paper that housing is bad. Things like a small province with good infrastructure, 102 schools, the poorest of the poor, they have not yet had access at that time, which is something that is good. Okay, we can say, you know, the papers perhaps are fabricating things, but there was no formal denial by housing province, you know, that situation is unfortunate. Now, if there is so much financial, you know, mismanagement by housing, the tiniest of all provinces, with maximum infrastructure, with little or virtually no partition, the DDG has been saying, one shivers, you know, what is happening in these provinces with a lot of no partition. And that thing is definitely the handicapping, you know, proper quality of education. And we were pleading, you know, with head of to find a way, you know, of getting that area, you know, in order. Just learning to take place on the first day, people in business in improving quality.
Can I have all the answers? Because I have no other answers today.
Just as a follow-up, Chairperson, I think taking up the point that Honorable is raising here, the district can play a role in that respect, you know, in terms of capacitating schools, in terms of how to utilize funds allocated. Because one also read that housing government, I mean department, was saying that most of the schools had not accounted for the initial allocations. Therefore, they could not continue to, you know, what do you call it now?
Yeah, continue transferring.
Yes. So in other words, you know, you find this principal with his thousands, and he can use the money, but he doesn't know how to account in terms of how he used that money. Now the department is awaiting reports from him. Tell us what you did with the money. You can't account. But one should appreciate this direction that the department is taking. As you say, to clean, you know, because perhaps we are moving to a point where this thing can now be able to capacitate. I'm appreciating also the fact that HODs are involved in this. Perhaps these are issues that they are picking up to say these are the problems that confront us. This is what then can be done, because we are now actually being given a chance to capacitate themselves. This is what we are given a chance now to say what it is that we need in order for us to
you know, perform to our optimum. I'm merely picking it up because, you know, we also should, you know, be mindful of the shortcomings that we, the deficiencies that exist out there. And again, while we're talking about districts and so on, I was also looking at, you know, we come from an era, you know, some of us have traveled this road. We're inspector, manager, and developer in the first stage, in housing, pedestrian creation, etc. I was also looking at, you know, a common kind of recognition.
I have a question. Just within one concern, when you look at these provincial disparities, the provision of these facilities, you get a report from poverty that they've done so many schools, and is there any way the department wants to, in the form of research, because I'm concerned that, we are, I don't want to say we are perpetuating, but the thing is perpetuating is that this disparity, inequalities, provincial disparities. Anyway, the department feels it can intervene with extra funding, because this thing could the chapters were talking about Kaduli school, which not being able, you know. And the second one concerned the district, empowering of the district. What is exactly? That's a jumping the gun now. But my observation has been also, we have the good infrastructure in these entities, but these guys who are managing the institution, because their authority in fact has been undermined, that the historical fact is quite high, in other words, they have that bridge as, what do you call it?
Yes,
are you thinking of consulting partners in the district?
I'm not sure. I think your first comment was when you try to trace put it in the form of a concerned grant, you fail. Because they are not concerned grant, it became part of the that share of the knowledge. We ended up now getting my bodies. I don't know whether that fight is not after this type of experience. But to me, that becomes very, this is a very new system. It's very important to critical question, they will not apply in education. Who are living in the government of the provinces, to give them another grant, they decide to use self-service for something else. This is the fight that this team needs to, or we need to be armed by your commission, that they are going to give up. What is that you can do? Yes. Whatever, whatever.
Every time on any area, like we will try to still ask for the conditional grant, whether we're talking district development or talking, I give one example now, on the topic of schools on NPSM, we try to make it a conditional grant or for the money to flow through national so that we can address the issues and we understand them. We have the failure, so it's an ongoing, I don't think, I mean, it's a local issue, but I don't think it's a fight that we've given up on, because we're finding that we're finding it very difficult to deliver on national priorities because the money goes through, flows through the equitable shape. just the other one is on district and what he's doing. Just we are dealing with the question of nomenclature at once. So if you think there's something that people can also ask about whether we, you know, because there are different term groups for different issues, but it was also linked to the services that we're providing. We are looking at that. I just indicate that the concern about issues and their capacity has been an ongoing concern, and therefore we have been running capacity building programs for subject advisors, for business managers, for the people who are in the business. The challenge has been that you find people close to you sometimes who are not equipped to be where they are, and therefore even if you are supporting them to implement, if you have the wrong person to start with, then it doesn't go too far. Secondly, again, we've gone to the stopgap measures. You were enabling those who were there to perform their functions, but they were not equitable across the system, and therefore, if you had, for instance, as you go to Limpopo, I guess, to see the honorable member from Limpopo, in Limpopo you will find that there's one subject advisor, and it's not a subject advisor for English or mathematics, but a subject advisor. So you can, a whole number of things. Therefore, if you build the capacity of that person, what are you building the capacity for? What are you going to be able to do? If it's a beautiful study teacher with a subject advisor for mathematics and English, it's the same. So we're trying to address that problem now so that we build capacity in a focused, targetedly appropriate way.
Thanks, Jay. Given the provincial disturbances around recess, especially in terms of infrastructure, what we need to understand is this is not a year-to-year disparity. The issue starts from year zero. And the issue is that in terms of the equitable share, a question needs to be asked, what is the themselves done with the funds that were allocated to the equitable share from year zero, from 1994. So that is one issue. Some provinces have used the money for other areas, and if they neglected certain areas, one can't claim that it is a inherited platform. However, in the big term planning that one has to do is that what we're now doing with this infrastructure is now been removed from the equitable share. It will put into the provisional grants managed by the National Treasury. And National Treasury does take into account provincial backlogs. But if we read the medium term budget, the intergovernmental fiscal review very carefully, that report says education was done down in terms of infrastructure allocations by the provincial treasuries in terms of reconstruction grant, because education was not prioritized. Therefore, the Minister of Finance is trying to make it good. He's made an announcement now that there will be an increase of 2.7 billion around. Is the fight lost? Change is not lost. And we welcome the issue of that question. Because what we will do is we will definitely, when I think we have the information, we got it electronically around what is the best that we particularly made. We will also do further analysis in terms of what percentage of the best that we expect the provinces to get and what percentage was fulfilled. The electronic data will give it to the Secretariat now, which can be then shared with members, and we will send the other information. And the fight is not lost, never lost, I think. But I'm demonstrating that we have moved with the limited funds that is available, by demonstrating that we have contemplated the funds that are going to move again, we will be able to open that discussion up again with National Treasury in the budget process. And we will then pick it up in the budget process. When we make an assessment of the city, we should have a budget. Yes, check it. So. Was that the question on the special?
I think we will be able to do something about the next
meeting. Oh, I thought Chair, the other member had responded to the internet, so I didn't, but
Correct, then respond.
Then I know the game.
I think what is important to note is that the schools were fully funded, and that through the proper process, the schools were notified of their budget in September last year, and that they were given renewed budget letters in March this year. So at no stage the schools made to believe that there was no funding available for them. However, I think the member in front of you clearly put it, there were some schools that did not account for the funds that they received last year. And their functions have been changed from Section 21 schools to Section 30 schools, which means that their budget would not be transferred to the school, but would be managed by the district on their behalf. There were a large number of these schools that did supply the district with invoices to be paid, they modernized and so on. However, a number of schools then argued that the withdrawal of the function was irregular, and that we had no right to remove it without proving that they had no capacity to manage those funds. And so we had a problem where we then had to get authorization from our NEC to then release the funding, because it was contrary to the policy that they had not accounted for. It is then those schools started organizing themselves to say that they have no budget, when in actual fact they have budget, but those budgets have to be managed like any other Section 20 school by the district, as they had no Section 21 function. A large number of these schools, of the 122 schools that claimed they didn't have it, there were only around 40 schools that actually didn't have their funds in place. So we had to go through a process of rectifying and shifting money from district back to schools and transferring it. But we had to do an audit for every single school to make sure that we had deducted what we wanted to pay for them, and then transfer the balance back to them. And that is what was around it. I think the key lesson that we've learned out of this is information management. Because one was the issue of the Section 31 status of the school, and the procedures that were followed by the district in removing those functions. Because they should have been given due notice, they should have had an opportunity to reply, and thereafter, we were still not satisfied, we were then in a position to withdraw it. And certain procedural processes were not undertaken to ensure that what we had done was correct in terms of the law. So we have reinstated their status, but we are at the same time commissioning a company to go now and look at the capacity of the school to manage its resources and why it doesn't account for previous funding.
Thank you for that explanation. I have been assured by the member of school from Statistics that no one will throw the school in the door if we hear and see this debate. I'm advised that now we don't make feedback to this. So even if you don't have feedback, I invite everybody to attend. If you can sit down. Thank you, Master. Unfortunately, I'm not going to join you. Just hope my flight at the meeting.